This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. I'm Mary Gray Reeves, and there's a little blurb about me in the back of the leaflet, but in case you didn't get to it and you're wondering, who's that person up there? I'm a friend of the Swaneys and was raised up in this diocese, was born and raised in Miami, and have served as a priest here, and then was elected as bishop in the Diocese of El Camino Real. In California, there's six dioceses in the state, and we're in the prettiest, bestest part of the state, which is Santa Barbara County Line north to about Stanford University. So we have a very interesting context of agriculture and pristine, beautiful nature and technology. So I say to people, when you're eating your salad and checking your phone, think of us. On about the Tuesday of the 15th week of my pregnancy with my daughter, Katie, I stopped throwing up several times a day, and I was relieved. But in those weeks before that, I was so sick that I asked my doctor, I said, is there any chance that I'm malnourishing this baby because I can't keep any food down? And he said, oh, no. He said, that baby's going to take every ounce of muscle and every ounce of fat you have before it is deprived of itself. See? And when I remember that story, I remember that a mother can't help but feed her baby that's growing inside of her. And the baby can't help but receive that nourishment. There's just an automatic flow of body and of blood and of water. It's quite an amazing thing just to behold it. And even if you've never been pregnant, you have been in a womb. So everybody in this room shares that experience. And it grew us. And when we left the womb, we were able to grow more. When I talk with people who are thinking and exploring the Christian faith, just at the beginning, perhaps, of a faith journey, or a conscious faith journey, shall I say, or even if they've been in church a long time, and I talk about intimacy with God, and that God wants intimacy with us, the likes of which we hear in this beautiful gospel today, which is so rich in language, it's hard to choose a word, you know, so beautiful. But the sense of abiding, of Jesus abiding in us and we abiding in Jesus, is a language of intimacy, of closeness. And it reminds me to think about that reality that a mother and a baby in the womb share a deep intimacy. And they feed on one another. They feed each other with love and spiritual nourishment and real food. And God wants that with us. And Jesus in the Gospel of John wants to say that. And he says it over and over and over again in a lot of ways. And when I talk about, we go to Eucharist and partake of the body and blood of Jesus as a way of experiencing and remembering and becoming more conscious of that intimacy that God wants with us, I watch people's eyes just immediately go to cannibalism. See, I'm not the only one in the room that's done that, right? Everybody's had that thought, right? And what do we do with that? But I don't think Jesus was trying to clarify any kind of theory of atonement. That is, why did Jesus need to be sacrificed on the cross? We struggle with this aspect, the violence of the gospel, in this way. But I think if we unhinge, that desire of intimacy that is expressed by Jesus in the gospel, from trying to figure out the mystery of salvation and the wisdom of the church was wise to never make it a doctrine. See, let's just leave salvation a mystery, how about? See, let's not try to figure it out. But I think if we set aside those questions and we come to Eucharist and we take in the bread and the wine, the presence of Jesus, and we receive that, we actually practice that automatic receiving and giving. We practice the prayer that Jesus has for us, which is to be one with God and one with one another. So you might just try that thought today as you come to the table. We can easily disrupt that flow of easy receiving and easy giving. So easy, it's just, we don't even think about it. And unforgiveness will do it every time. It will disrupt that flow of the eternal love and abiding that God seeks with us. Right? And I'm not hacking into your lives here. See, I don't know a lot of you, but I know this is a common human experience. And just like we've all had an experience in the womb this morning, I pretty much guarantee you every single one of us is working on some matter of letting go of something. Harboring a resentment, a vengeance, a retribution, unforgiveness of ourselves, unforgiveness of God. Right? How much mental energy do we spend thinking those things through? I think one way to think about salvation is that Jesus says, you know, you could be set free from all of that energy. Because one of the gifts of that abiding love is the empowerment to forgive and to let go. And we can't imagine that feeling okay, but that's the mystery of grace, that we're actually okay. And in my experience, when I forgive, I start, trips over itself, you know, and I start discovering all the other things I need to forgive. So it's like, oh, I guess that's right. So go a little deeper. There's more. Surprise. The Gospel of John, the pastoral letters of John are filled with this idea. If you don't come to eternal life through Jesus, this eternal flow of love through Jesus. And in John chapter 3, it actually uses the word wrath. You will suffer the wrath of God, which sounds so inconsistent, doesn't it, with the abiding. We have to be careful not to anthropomorphize that word wrath, because for us that means unforgiveness. It means lack of grace and mercy. It means vengeance, retribution, right? It's a harsh word. But if we back it up to the Greek, it appears only one time in the Gospel of John. It's the Greek word erge, and it means a settled unpleasantness. Isn't that a great word? It's like, I have a settled unpleasantness with you because you left your dirty clothes on the floor. Settled unpleasantness. And if you go a little deeper, it means not in the nature of. And so that scripture says, if you don't come to Jesus, don't come to eternal life through Jesus, you are not in the nature of God. And it's not that you don't have a choice or I don't have a choice. Somebody's offering really good commentary over on this side of the room. It's good. We have a choice. You know, Jesus says in this gospel, I tell you these things so you may love one another, but you don't have to. See, I don't have to. And I make a choice often not to. But when we choose that, I think what Jesus is saying is, you can choose that, but God can't go there with you because it is not in God's nature to not be graceful, to not be merciful, to not be loving, to not take us back. And God says, you get to choose it. Go ahead, you can choose it, but I can't go with you. And you can always come back. There's a process in this gospel today of abiding in God and Jesus abiding in us, and we abide in Jesus, and it's beautiful language of a friendship, you know, of a friendship. And we get worried about this commandment thing. This feels like another hard word, that we must do it. But the last sentence, you may, I'm giving you this relationship so you're able to do it, so you can do it. If you choose not to, it's okay. But if you choose to, this is how you do it. And it will set us free. We pray that in the church, this is what we do. And we fail a lot. And whether you're part of the church or not, this is what we're invited to do by love itself and the power of love. And this week, as we're wandering about in our lives, just take the word that comes out of this gospel for you. It'll lead you back to the teaching of this gospel. And ponder that idea that God wants this kind of intimacy with you and is inviting you to live out of it and build a community that behaves like this. A couple weeks ago, we had the Gospel of Luke. And at the resurrection, in Mark and Matthew, it says, just go preach the good news to all the nations. But in Luke, it says, go repent and preach forgiveness to all the ends of the earth. And start with Jerusalem. Start with your center of the universe. And so we begin there with ourselves. And this week, forgive a little something and see where it goes. Amen.